Which brings us to the next big question when it comes to county facilities, and it's been hinted at quite a bit already. You have all brought up the needs of the Hancock County Jail, both tonight and during your campaigns. During our forum last week, however, the Hancock County Sheriff candidates all downplayed the need for a new jail. When asked, they did not cite that as an immediate or desperate need. So I'll ask you, from your perspective, how significant of a priority do you view this to be? And we'll begin with Mr. Wobser.
The jail situation is a multi-tentacled monster. We have the current jail, which needs upgrading. It's 30 years old. We've spent quite a bit of money on maintenance on it. It's going to cost us a lot of money going forward. And to get it up to speed, it's going to cost quite a bit. But we don't know what that cost is yet versus building new. There's a lot of people that think that building out on 140 is the best place to be. That may be the case. But the fact of the matter is we don't know yet what that is. Right now, the jail is about 70% capacity. That's for a couple of different reasons. Number one, the city took their business elsewhere. Part of the reason that the city no longer houses inmates there is because of the cost. The daily cost is cheaper to go someplace else. And also, there was a period of time when staffing, which is still a problem with the corrections officers, the sheriff asked us to move our people out, which we did, and we've just chose not to come back at this point. The city has not. So there's a lot of things that are going to go into the decision to make that jail. It's a very expensive proposition, somewhere between $90 and $150 million. It is not going to be an easy decision, and that will be one, if we go forward, that will have to require almost every bit, every person in our elected government to be involved in that, to have their input so that we do the right thing.
Mr. Hunker.
Though I feel that a jail is needed, based on my knowledge, my experience walking through the jail personally, my experience talking to individuals that work daily in the jail, ultimately that's a decision that's a community decision. I serve on the Community Action Committee studying potential new jail. There will be an upcoming recommendation coming out soon. That committee has worked very diligently to come up with answers. So, but let me be clear. Currently, I see no path moving forward with the Justice Center under the current financials in the Hancock County budget. Therefore, the judges, the sheriff's office, police department, other elected officials are going to have to work together, try to come up with something. And there needs to be open and honest discussion. And based on the decision that comes down, that decision will be from the citizens of Hancock County before a vote. And it may be a ways away, but that's the way it has to proceed. So, thank you.
Ms. Frischig.
I think it's great that Township Trustee Hunker is changing his tune a little bit on that, because in other discussions I've heard about him being in favor of raising the taxes to build a new jail. But as far as for my own view on that, the jail is a big discussion. It's multifaceted. We're going to have a new sheriff in town. I'm excited for that. Any of the three candidates, it's going to be great. We're going to see a lot of things going on. And the first thing we're going to have to figure out is staffing the jail, improving our road workers and so forth, our deputies. And then we have to talk about where we want the jail to go and what the community wants the jail to be. Do we want it to be in downtown? Do we want it to be on 140? Are we willing to pay for that tax increase to get it done? But we are maintaining that jail. We are doing maintenance to that building as we speak. So we're not ignoring the facility and letting it crumble. So I think that is important to know as well.
Mr. Hunker.
I don't recall ever saying that I'm in favor of raising taxes. I'm in favor of putting it before the voters, and the voters make that decision. Do I think there is a need? Yes, I think there's a need. Do I think that all parties need to come together and support a common cause? Yes, I think so. When you're sending, as I believe Councilman Wobser said, sending city prisoners out, which currently is to the cheapest bidder, that's only going to become a cheaper bidder as long as we keep using an older jail, because the older jail isn't as efficient as the newer ones. So we're dealing with that issue, and the city doesn't necessarily have a contract per se.
Ms. Frischi.
So whether the city contracts with the county or not to put our inmates into the jail, that's up to the city. We need to plan accordingly for what we feel our future needs are going to be for Hancock County. And if the city wants to use our jail, great. We'll have a great rate for them. And if they want to use it, and if they want to get it someplace cheaper, they're more than welcome to do so.
Ms. Rocker.
That won't work. That's flat out not going to work. The only way you can do it is if everyone is together. Government doesn't work well when one does their thing and another does their own thing, and they go in different ways, and when you have limited budgets. You have to work together, and you have to find common ground. Now, if that means that there won't be a new jail, I guess there won't be a new jail. But, you know, the only way this works is all hands on deck working together. And we're not big enough to try to do what Lucas County is doing right now, where the county does one thing and the city does something different. We're not Lucas County. So that's been a challenge up there.
Mr. Wobser.
And I would just add that Jeff's correct. We have to work together, because the economics on any new jail or even the renovation of the old jail will not work unless we get a contract for the city inmates to come in there. What's it going to take to get that done? Well, it's going to take people sitting down and actually having civil conversations and coming up with contracts that they can agree upon. And those are the things that I work on and do very well, and have those relationships to be able to get that done.
Ms. Frischi?
And before we can get to that point, we have to get our staffing under control to able to handle a bigger jail.
Let's move on. For quite some time, there has been discussion over the future of the recycling program in Hancock County. Concerns over costs, staffing levels, and the location of litter landing, just to name a few. In December of last year, the commissioners voted to take bids from potential contractors in order to consider the alternative of outsourcing the entire operation, while emphasizing that no decision has yet been made. What would you like to see done with the county recycling program? And for this, we'll begin with Mr. Hunker.
The recycling program is a challenging thing. Obviously, if you're going to improve the recycling program, the current site doesn't have the space, doesn't have the operations, doesn't have what it needs to be efficient. There has been struggles with employees, with number of employees. There's been numerous struggles with the recycling that's been brought in there, because throughout the county there's been something like 20 different bins dropped off, and they stopped putting three or four of them out there because people are abusing it. So we talk about recycling. I love to see recycling. Recycling comes at an enormous price, and it even becomes a more enormous price if people abuse it. I would love to see it. I mean, there's been talk about out on 140. There's talk right now of a contract. I guess we see where it goes. Obviously, the one thing that is certain, moving forward, something new has to be done, and that additionally will cost money, because the site currently on the east side isn't enough to do what we need to do. It's not automated enough either. So that's my thoughts.
Ms. Frischi.
Litter landing. I went out there and visited one day. 400 cars go through there a day. There is a big desire for recycling, and I agree with that. The recycling program is not a moneymaker. What we're doing is we're preserving our landfills, and that's important. So as far as workers go, our workers got a big surprise that there's a possible new opportunity coming where we're going to use a third party. And it might work, and it might save us some money, but they knew they were going to be out of jobs. So some folks have been staying the task to see it through. Some of them are finding other jobs and moving on. We used to have more volunteers. That doesn't happen as much as it used to, and it's a dirty job. I wouldn't want to do it, but I know we need Litter Landing, we need our recycling program, and we have to not treat it solely as a business transaction, because it's a little bit different. It's not there to make money, but it is there to save us money on the landfill side. So we do need it. I want to see something happen on that Litter Landing site. I'm not against looking at this third party and seeing what clawback clauses we're going to have and where the money savings is going to be.
And Mr. Wobser.
Because we have a landfill, we have to have a recycling program by state law. So something's got to be done with this. Recycling does not make money. It used to be that the materials that we would send off and sell was enough to maintain the cost of the recycling center. That is not the case anymore. So it's an expense all the way around. Commissioner Bateson, I believe, is in charge of this project. And in conversations with him, he said that the recycling business is costing the county about $800,000 per year. Now, I'm not going to say those numbers are right. That was a number he gave me, so I'll go with that. So it's a big expense, and I think, though, that we've got to find a way to be able to maintain it, because we have to. It's not a choice. We have to be able to have recycling. What is the best way to do that? They are looking at a third party. Third party has its issues also. My guess is it looks like what the commissioners currently want to do is give that a try. You know what? I don't think that's a bad idea. Give it a try, see if it will work for a period of time. Maybe give, I think there were only two or three people that gave bids on that. Give it a try, couple years, two, three, 4 years, see if it works. If it doesn't, then we can come back and take a look and see if we need to do it ourselves. Because in 4 years, a lot of things could change on commodity prices. Plus, it may be better time to buy that equipment that is needed to run our own recycling system.
A couple of responses. First of all, Mr. Hunker.
Yes, each of my two opponents here have stated some good points. The number of vehicles obviously are high for this current site. The current site would need major renovation, and I still don't think it has enough space. I've heard objections to moving it out to County Road 140 where there is space. So that's a difficult decision to make. If you don't have the space where you're at, you don't have the automation, you do have the opportunity at a different site to do it. That's one thing where you shouldn't look at. Third party, yes, that's where we're at. You know, for now, we'll go with it. People need to quit abusing it. Thank you.
And Ms. Frischi.
So we actually only had one bid come into the county. I was at that meeting in the morning. And since then, they've done a little bit of review in those morning commissioner meetings, and I feel like we're looking at maybe closer to $500,000, so there is some savings. But I also think it's worth the conversation to talk with the city, because 90% of those vehicles that are coming through Litter Landing on Sandusky Street are city residents. And then another part of it is we had a packaging baling facility over on 12. We're going to be losing that facility as well, so we'll lose some of the capability to do some of the things on our own. But I think no matter what we do, if we end up putting bins at Litter Landing, we need some other locations in the city as well.
There have always been concerns over the interrelation between city and county government, and I think as long as we've been holding these forums, candidates have talked about improving those relations and the communication between elected officials, the county and the city. And given the fact that it has come up in multiple parts of this conversation, I take it that you feel that this is still an area of concern. So I'll ask the question, what do you feel is the key to improving that relationship, and how would you approach that challenge? And we'll begin with Ms. Frischi.
The key to improving communication is we have to take everybody's personal emotional feelings out of it. I know that's hard sometimes, and I know when people look from the outside in, they think things are more personal than what they are. But sometimes we just need to take a step back. We need to hear each side. And if one party is saying they want something done differently, well, maybe there's a way we can get it done that way. Maybe we do two contracts. Maybe we adjust the wording and make sure that everybody is being heard. So communication has got to improve in the city and the county, and with the townships. The townships get forgotten a lot when things are happening with economic development. I think we need to have better communication and letting them know what's going on in our community so we can make sure everybody's whole at the end of the day.
Mr. Wobser.
The main thing here is communication. You've got to talk to each other. Nationally, our political situations is a complete mess. Washington is in terrible disarray. Our own Republican Party at the national level is struggling at best. And it goes back to everybody's in their own corners. Everybody likes their position. They don't want to talk to the other people. And this is kind of where we're at today with our city and county. And actually, it's not just Findlay, it's some of the other smaller villages also. Goes back to communication. We've got to talk to each other. It's difficult, I understand, because you've only got three commissioners. If two of them are together, it's an official meeting, and then you're subject to sunshine laws. So it can only be one person, but that person's got to then communicate with the other two. And you've got to come up with consensus. It is not an easy thing. That's why they've been working on it, Chris, forever. And it'll probably be working on it long after we're done here also. But you have to continue to work at it because it is and must be top priority of to be able to get those our different parts of government to work together. We cannot forget the townships. We've got to keep them involved in these conversations as we move forward.
And Mr. Hunker.
The conversations have to take place. As Councilwoman Frischi said, the emotions have to be taken out of it. The players that are involved in the issue have to be included in the conversation. I've directly been involved, unlike these two, with some issues that have involved the commissioners and the city. I know firsthand how some of these things have taken place. I know how my feelings have been hurt at times. I know how, and I've learned how, and what I need to bring up in the conversations that take place. You educate yourself when you feel as though you weren't heard. We've got some issues with water and sewer going outside the city limits. We've got an issue right now at Spring Lake, in my township, in Eagle Township. The city came to the engineer's office originally. They did that with other issues, Bittersweet and Blue Bonnet Streets. Sewer was run out there without asking the township, without asking the county commissioners, to my understanding, and they have the authority whether or not that goes outside the city limits. So, yes, there's faults on the commissioner's side. Yes, there's faults probably on the township side for not speaking up, and yes, there's faults on the city side.
Mr. Wobser?
The further down that road, the lack of communication and just foments this issue where we think each other's lying or lying by omission, same thing. Great example of that is County Road 212 and 236, the interchange there. Going back and talking with the trustees, they felt like they had been absolutely lied to by the city. They were told that there would be a traffic light there, and that's what they had counted on. Then at the last minute, they comes out with the design, and there's no traffic light. Well, they're upset, and rightfully so. Somewhere along the line, the city had changed their mind and decided not to put a traffic light there, and as we all know, that brought everything to a screeching halt with that intersection.
Ms. Frischi.
I just want to rebut Mr. Hunker saying that, you know, he's worked with the city and the county, and I'm sorry his feelings have gotten hurt with regards to the water and sewer over in Spring Lake and Liberty Township. I've been on Water and Sewer Committee in the past. I attend a lot of those meetings in the city, and the townships aren't coming. They can't depend on one voice from the city to communicate everything back to the council side as well. And when I found out that there were things going on of concern, I looked into them and got back with those townships and said, here's where we're at. We can do better going forward, but we can't just say we're working with commissioners and a mayor. There's city council in there. There's departments and committees that also have a say.
And final 45 seconds for Mr. Hunker.
Okay. Councilwoman Frischi says that, but Councilwoman Frischi isn't the one that's the one going and talking to the commissioners about these topics. So in many cases, the townships haven't been invited to the conversation. Now, in the future, I think maybe they will. But part of that may be, too, that the townships haven't been aggressive enough to pursue things. I mean, I'm not going to say the townships are all right or wrong, but the conversations have to take place. The commissioners have the authority on a lot of things. And I don't think all the parties involved know what rules and laws the commissioners have.
We're going to have to make that the final word because we are out of time. We need to move on to the closing statements. We thank you all for a lively discussion this evening. And we'll begin our closing remarks with Mr. Wolpser.
Chris, thank you for this opportunity. Again, thank you to WFIN Blanchard River Broadcasting for allowing us the opportunity to talk to the community in multiple different ways here through the radio and through their Facebook streaming. You've had an opportunity now over the last 3 months to see all three of the commissioner candidates. And I think that one thing that you would probably agree, all three of us are fiscally conservative, small government Republicans. That's kind of a given for Republicans in our county. The question is then, who is the most qualified to fulfill the unique responsibilities of being a county commissioner? I believe that my upbringing, my education, my experience in both the private and public sector, and the fact that I will approach this as a full-time job and keep a very level head as we go through all of the different things that come at the commissioners on a daily basis makes me the best person for this job. And for that reason, I am asking for your vote now through March 19th. Thank you very much.
Mr. Hunker.
One thing that did not come up tonight was some of the issues in the city, the cost of living, the economic levels. Clearly, the county's population has continued to grow. While the major crime, drug, and housing cost issues continue to grow within our city. The city is the heart of the county, and we must reverse this over a decade trend. Both my opponents have been on the council for most of this decade. We need them to focus on doing their current job better for the good of our community as a whole. This is a message voters should send to both of them, which is why I was the first candidate to enter this race before they decided later in 2023 to jump ship versus fighting for our city. Thank you for the opportunity to share with each of you tonight. I will do everything I can to represent the residents of Hancock County in an honorable way if elected as Hancock County Commissioner. I approach this the same way I approach my spiritual life. I know what I believe, I know why I believe it, and I'm called to act upon it, and that is what I intend to do. I ask for your support on March 19th or before. Thank you.
And Ms. Frischi.
dedication and experience. That's where I started my opening speech at this evening, and it matters. Dedication and experience matter. I have that experience from my time on city council and my time working in and outside the city, helping citizens resolve issues. I will do that same thing in the county because the city is part of the county. I'm not abandoning the county. The city is part of the county, and I'm going to be working for everybody. If you have a question, I'm there to help. If there's an issue we need to resolve, I'm going to have those tough conversations. And whether it gets emotional or somebody's feelings get hurt or anything, we're going to have those conversations and do what's best for Hancock County. For me, the reason I got into this race is because I believe we're at a crossroad. Economic development is the core of that. We are seeing an influx in our population that we cannot manage. And that influx in population is bringing barriers. Our safety services are not prepared, our healthcare system is not prepared, our schools are not prepared, and our infrastructure and housing is not ready for all of this change. We are not bringing in the high-paying jobs that all of you have been asking for 5 to 10 years. It is time to have a commissioner in that office that is going to take a hard stand and say, no, it's not the right time, we need to wait, we need to get our wheelhouse in order. And that's what I'm there to do. I am there to be your voice. It's not about me, it's about you. And for me, the conservative values that Hancock County has always had, we don't want to lose that. We want to maintain our conservative values and make sure that Findlay, Hancock County is a place that we want to live, work, and raise a family. Right now, that crossroad that we are at is low-paying jobs with a transient workforce that brings barriers that we are not prepared for, and that's why I'm running.
We'd like to thank all three of the candidates for taking part in this evening's forum, and thank you for joining us this evening. A reminder that early voting is now underway, and Election Day itself is Tuesday, March 19th. I'm Chris Oakes. Thank you for joining us. Good night.